Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Doney Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
Good week. A good week for La Nostra Familia. What's going on, everyone? The Don Tony Show is here. It is Saturday. What is this, the 14th of January? My God, half of January is already gone. We're 2 weeks away from the Royal Rumble. We're less than 2 weeks away from the 30th anniversary of Monday Night Raw. Did you hear Vince's voice yesterday during SmackDown? Welcome to Monday Night Raw. I can't do it this early. Still, the thyroid's hurt after getting the biopsies. No results yet. Don't have any good or bad news, but that's not why you're here. Listen, to everybody who is new to the channel, welcome aboard. Thank you for all of the kind words, compliments, and, you know, the realization of what I've been talking about forever. But in the last month especially, I have never seen the almost crack addiction level of clickbait, not only from your no-namers out there, but people who just, I mean, the engagement, the clickbait, the lying. And, you know, it really comes down to two things. You know, listen, there's nothing wrong with addressing rumors that are bullshit. Yes, we will talk about the rumors, well, the reports that AEW is interested in buying WWE. Just use a little common sense. Common sense gets you so far. But you look back at the last month about Vince, or even the last couple of weeks, Vince McMahon returning, and he's going to fuck up WWE creative. Mercedes Moné, not likely, possibly, you know, eventually. No, she will be at AEW Dynamite on the 11th as Saraya's partner. And then when they announced Toni Storm as the partner, which we actually talked about 3 weeks before the announcement, then they're like, oh, no. Kara Shida's going to lay her out, and Saraya's going to have no partner, and she's going to bring out... I mean, people were desperate. They were desperate. What boggles my mind is most of these fools didn't have a backup plan. You know, usually if you commit a crime, you go rob a bank, you kind of have a getaway car. And if something goes wrong, then you got to figure out, okay, what do we do if this happens? Or what do we do if we're confronted by this? Usually have a backup plan. And none of these people had a backup plan to cover up this shit. They thought, I'll just delete everything. I'll just delete it. And that makes it better. Listen, I know I toot my own horn, and I know it annoys a lot of people out there, but let me tell you two things straight up. I do these shows for you. I do it for me also. It is a release for me. Keeps my happiness a little bit more, you know, we know. We just, the escape from all the bullshit going around in the world, you know, we do it for those reasons. But each and every one of you out there spend a lot of time out of your days tuning into my stuff. The last thing I'm going to do is lie to you. The last thing I'm going to do is use you for numbers and use bullshit that you know is bullshit, and you clickbait it as if it's true. And then you think, oh, well, if it ends up not being true, I could just shit on the people who posted it. I don't want to waste your time. And I think over the last month, especially between the Mercedes stuff, just the common sense, the deal she inked with New Japan, it made no sense. And then the best part is people taking it out on Britt Baker. People, look around. Britt Baker was getting hammered. And I don't mean, you know, she was getting hammered on social media Wednesday into Thursday because the week before she said, I'm the boss. Oh, she alluded What the fuck is wrong with these people? The last time I ever got mad at someone who teased someone coming in and lied was Hulk Hogan back in the 90s in WCW when he promised us the ultimate surprise in WCW, ended up being a fucking renegade. That's the last time, you know, you play on words. And that's all Britt Baker did. She didn't allude to anyone that she that Mercedes was coming in. Oh, man. And not only that, I mean, let's be honest. Isn't Britt Baker kind of like the boss of the women's division in AEW anyway? Really? So, I take pride in, you know, giving you straight up honest discussion. You know, understand I'm more of an opiner than a reporter. I'm not a journalist. I don't bother with news. Sure, I get things here and there and I share it with you. But what I've seen over the last month is horrendous. Last week, Vince McMahon, creative. WWE sold to Saudi. WWE sold. Sold. That motherfucker, believe it or not, I tell you, he might be in some serious legal hot water. You know, you can't use Twitter to try to get hits and millions of views with a billion-dollar publicly traded company. If he had no true, legitimate, founded information to back up that Steven prick that we showed you last week, I think I may still have his pair of tweets. His pair of tweets. Let's see. I should have it right here. Let's see. Do I have it? Oh, fuck him. Fuck him. I'm not even going to waste my time. You know who it is. Oh, wait. Yeah, here's one, and here's the other one. I don't have time to really, like, put them together, but, you know, there you go. There's the first one. WWE has been sold to Saudi Arabia. Can you imagine if that stock market tanked $20, $30, $40 a share? Billions of dollars lost because of this scumbag? And he deleted the tweet. He deleted it. And, again, this is the same asshole that wrote, Mercedes will be Soraya's partner. And that ended up not being true as well. That's dangerous because that's tempting. That's addicting. If this motherfucker gets away with the WWE stuff, you can't stop. Look at the AEW, the rumors that AEW is interested in buying WWE. Yeah, I'm interested too. All of you are interested out there. All right. Just think about WWE's net worth. And think about the net worth of, what do you think, Shad Khan and Tony Khan have all that extra expenditure? They can't even get a fucking TV deal for Ring of Honor. And you want them to, seriously, even if you hate Vince McMahon, you really want Tony Khan and Shad Khan to spearhead a group of people to buy the company? Why, because Tony Khan is a wrestling fan? Are you burnt? And then on top of it, you know, Vince McMahon, even though it's a publicly traded company, he has the majority vote, you know, share 83% voting authority. Vince could sell WWE for as much as he wants, and that's the bottom line, because he's the majority. So honestly, if I'm AEW, you want to buy, yeah, no problem, $25 billion. You think there's something illegal about that? Listen, Tony Khan is not a stupid man. When all these Mercedes rumors were floating around, did anybody in AEW kind of try to dispel them at all? No. Tony Khan looked like, oh my God, we're going to get extra ratings. We're going to get extra ratings because people think that Mercedes is going to appear. They don't say nothing. With all of this buzz that All Elite Wrestling is interested in buying WWE, you think that they're going to go out there and say, we don't want to buy that. We don't want that. You think he's going to do that? No. Because every time some schmuck posts that, that's more publicity for AEW. If I was Tony Khan, I wouldn't say a damn thing. Shad Khan? I mean, AEW was on its pace to gross $100 million in revenue last year. You know what's absent about all those reports? How much did he spend last year? Remember cash flow positive? It's an infamous interview, and then we'll get to Stephanie. We'll talk, and we are going to talk some wrestling news today as well. Stephanie, We'll get to that in a moment. But do you remember the infamous interview? This is one of the things that put me on the map with the Dixie Carter stuff back in the day. Dixie Carter did an interview with either Sports Illustrated or Forbes. I don't remember who interviewed her. But she made a claim on the interview saying that TNA was cash flow positive. Cash flow positive. And I guarantee you that journalist had no fucking clue what she was talking about. And they let it go. And the reporters, the news outlets let it go as well. And I explained to you what cash flow positive is. My friends, if I have $100,000 in credit card debt right now, if I have foreclosure notices at my door, but my bank account says I have $10 in it, I have cash flow positive. You see, I mean, that's a real simplified example of it, but that doesn't say anything. Look up cash flow positive. People could say, oh, AEW, listen, grossing $100 million in revenue last year is very impressive. But how much did you spend to get $100 million in revenue? You know, think about that. You know, I could have a restaurant and I could say, hey, I took in $50,000 last week. But then you realize I didn't tell you that I spent $60,000 last week. So, you know, this idea that AEW is interested, that is just clickbait. That is just clickbait. The best part about it is I saw some asshole on CNBC. And I looked at a little of his bio. You know, just because these websites and these outlets are legitimate doesn't mean that they don't hire interns and amateur people. And yes, the real world clickbaits also. Just look at our elections and you see the level of clickbait that goes on, the drama, this is gonna happen, none of it happens. When they said about the AEW thing, they said, oh, the people that told us, ask us to keep it private. Because they don't want to be on record for fucking feeding you some of the most absolute elite bullshit that there is. All right? You don't write down. Do you notice what was absent in an article? We attempted to contact Tony and Chad Khan for comment and received no reply. Sound familiar? We talk about it with wrestling news sites all the time. It is rumored that so-and-so said this, and then there's... We attempted to reach the whole Colt Cabana being moved to Ring of Honor thing. Every time it was reported, did you ever see a place say, we reached out for Colt Cabana for comment and received no reply? No, because if they do, and they're told the truth, story dead. And that's why you get what you get with Mercedes Moné, with Vince coming back and fucking up WWE creative. WWE sold to Saudi Arabia, and now we get to Stephanie McMahon. We get to Stephanie McMahon. By the way, I want to give a little super shout-out over here to Rothman. Happy Saturday. Thank you. I hope you are enjoying your weekend. A little coffee over here. I woke up at 10 today, so I didn't think we really had to do that much prep. But in a little while, we'll talk a little bit about SmackDown. We'll talk about the tag team tournament that's going to be coming up. This is all seed planting. We'll talk about what's next with Sami Zayn and the Bloodline storyline. We'll talk about the QR code that was put on the screen yesterday. Also, congratulations to Mickey James. Now, we're not going to get into the whole card for Hard to Kill today. We'll do that on Monday. Maybe we'll wait until Wednesday since we dedicate that to everything except... And Rockzilla with the subscription running. Welcome, Rockzilla, to the family. But yesterday, Jordan Grace versus Mickey James, title versus career. If a lot of you have not been paying attention to Impact Wrestling, Mickey James, her next loss is her last one. Kind of mimicking the Ric Flair, you know, storyline in WWE back in the day. And she is on a winning streak. And last night it was title versus career. And she won the Knockouts title. She could go, man. I hope she's in the Royal Rumble again this year. I know some people be like, oh, this Forbidden Door for the last year has been bullshit with WWE. I definitely, listen, you probably have a better shot of seeing a little more Forbidden Door right now with WWE especially with the idea that they may be doing an M&A or a full sale, whatever it is. And I do have some updates for you on that as well. But, I take very, very much pride in giving you accurate information, accurate discussion, using common sense and logic, no clickbait whatsoever. And for anyone out there that gets frustrated at, you know, news sites or podcasters or bloggers or journalists doing that to you, my question is, why do you keep tuning into them? Period. So let's talk a little bit about Stephanie McMahon. Now, before we get into her stepping down from WWE and some, you know, gossip that some people are reporting, something may allude to a name popping up back in the headlines, which we will talk about. But before we even get into her leaving, best wishes go out to her because a couple of days ago she had surgery on her ankle. Now it's funny because I tell you that is the luxury of millionaires. They don't go to your local urgent care. They don't go to your local orthopedic surgeon. No, they go to Andrew's Sports Medicine. And honestly, if I had that kind of cash, I would go there as well. They are the creme de la creme as far as orthopedic surgeons go. So she had to get surgery on her ankle. I don't know what it is. I don't know if she had anything torn. Contrary to rumors, she did not kick the WWE door on the way out. She didn't kick it when she heard that her father was returning. Apparently, it might have been a lingering thing that she needed to get surgery on. And she did. She is rehabbing. She's got a little bit of a road to recovery. We wish her the best. So, last week we talked about Vince McMahon returning. We talked about how back when people were saying, oh, the board of directors all voted against Vince's return. That was based on a letter that Vince wrote in December. Last week, the board of directors had a vote, and they unanimously voted Vince McMahon back in. Wow, what a difference 2 weeks makes, doesn't it? Now, I opine, I give you my opinions, and I base it on research, I base it on facts, I base it on common sense, and when you eliminate clickbait, things are a lot clearer than they seem. Now, the one thing that a lot of people have been talking about is somebody really high up in the WWE offices really does not like Vince McMahon, really objects to Vince McMahon. Now, we talked about that one guy that resigned that was part of Sony 6. I can't remember his name right now. I showed you a picture of him with Kurt Angle when he was in TNA. That was one person, but I'm telling you, as time goes by, I think more and more you're going to hear the buzz that Stephanie McMahon might be the one that is more against her father, Vince, being back in WWE than anyone else. I'm telling you, it seems to be going in that route. And I want to just, we'll give you some facts as far as when she returned, what she was doing. Michelle Wilson is one of the biggest reasons why Stephanie is out also, because I'll give you a little bit of history for those that don't know. But the thing with Stephanie McMahon is, you know, there is a rift in the McMahon family over the marriage between Vince and Linda McMahon. A lot of people are shocked beyond belief that Linda McMahon has not filed for divorce against Vince McMahon. I don't like going National Enquirer route, but it is safe to say that Vince McMahon has been unfaithful to Linda McMahon for probably decades. And you ask yourself, wow, she has been awfully silent with this. Now, if you remember, it was either last week or the week before, I talked about how Vince McMahon, if he passes away and he still owns all those shares of WWE stock, especially the Class B shares, he does not have to give them to Linda. it has to go to a McMahon. The name says McMahon, but it's not Linda McMahon. And the thing is this. I don't live in their houses. I don't sit at the dinner table. I'm not there on the holidays. But it is common knowledge that a lot of family members are very, very angry that Vince McMahon has been unfaithful to Linda. Now, I would be absolutely disrespectful to sit here and tell you that Shane is more mama's boy than daddy's boy. Back in the day, it was the billion-dollar princess, you know, Vince's daughter. We don't know her true, deep, personal feelings about Stephanie McMahon's feelings towards her father for the way he treated their mother. Now, just because you throw out millions, and just because she's living comfortably, and just because he did, you know, all that investment in her campaign, I still remember that night when Linda lost that campaign and Vince was sobbing in the background. And all I keep thinking to myself was, he probably was like, motherfucker, I had to drop this money in her campaign and it's all wasted away for nothing. You know, I mean, it's just, you got to go back and you got to see that Vince is sobbing. I don't think he's sobbing as much because Linda lost. I think he is sobbing because tens of millions of dollars was lost out of that deal. But, you know, understand if Vince passes before WWE is sold, or there could be an M&A. If there's a merger and acquisition, Vince could still own shares, a lot of shares. A lot of people don't know that Stephanie McMahon still owns about $175 million of WWE stock. You ask yourself, why did Stephanie walk away from a $1.5 million deal? She was making $1.5 million a year with WWE. That's average. I mean, it's not exact, but it's right around that figure. She's worth almost $200 million. So when you look at $1.5 million, and she does have other things going on, and she isn't going to sit at home, and she's not going to suddenly be an Amazon seller. Hey, buy my makeup. You know, she's going to be making money. And look at the WWE stock. You know, last week I posted this photo. The WWE stock last week was up 22% to $87.69 a share. Do you know what the stock is right now, everyone? It's almost $90 a share. It's actually gone up in the last week. And what happened in the last week? Stephanie stepped down. Why would the WWE stock would be so positive about Stephanie stepping down? You know, the stock was not influenced by all the clickbait bullshit about WWE being sold to Saudi Arabia, which I appreciate all the compliments, everyone, especially on Patreon. That Tuesday night was very, very frustrating. That all went down Tuesday night, and I had to sit there throughout the whole show and shoot down every post that people kept showing, like, no, but, no, but nothing. This is a $7 billion company. They just brought J.P. Morgan they just hired J.P. Morgan 3 or 4 days earlier to help with a possible sale. You think this is eBay? That in 72 hours, J.P. Morgan comes back. We got to sell her. We got to sell it. $10 billion. Board of directors got to vote on it. Shareholders have to know. There's a bunch. This is going to take months and months and months. You could have a handshake agreement, but it has to go through so many chains before a deal can be announced. And nobody, not even the business world, turned around and immediately said, look, that's ridiculous. That's nonsense. Maybe if it's an indie Fed that draws 200, you could do that. Not a billion-dollar company with media rights deals coming up and everything else. So anyway, when this is important, when the board of directors unanimously voted Vince McMahon back in as chairman, Stephanie left. Same time. I don't believe Stephanie was on record voting Vince back in. I'm not sure. Maybe she did. But she made this announcement. About 8 months ago, I took a leave of absence and went in a few weeks, unexpectedly had the opportunity of a lifetime. I had the privilege to return as the co-CEO and chairman of the board of WWE. Okay, now, hold that thought for a second. If you remember, in May of 2022, she stepped down for WWE. She was going to focus on family. You know, people forget Triple H almost died in the hospital. So he has still a lot of issues that he deals with. I mean, he looks great. He says he feels great, but there's still issues there. She was taking a leave of absence. Now, if you look at that statement again, she unexpectedly had the opportunity of a lifetime. Because Vince was stepping back, the retirement wasn't announced yet. The retirement was announced a month later. Remember that. If you remember the initial announcement when Vince was going to take a leave of absence, that he was stepping down, didn't retire, but he was stepping down, she was named the CEO. Not co-CEO, everybody. She was named the CEO. Go look at last year's timeline and you will find it. So now Stephanie McMahon becomes the CEO of WWE. The entire internet wrestling community is congratulating her. A lot of women in pro wrestling were congratulating her. Oh my God, that's awesome. That's this, 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 this. And her pay went up to $1.5 million. I think it was $700,000 before. And then a month later, Nick Khan was named co-CEO along with Stephanie McMahon. Wait a minute. She was originally named chairwoman of the board. So now Vince returns as chairman of the board. Well, Stephanie is no longer chairwoman of the board. Plus, understand something too. Stephanie McMahon as co-CEO and Nick Khan as co-CEO were both making around the same salary, $1.5 million. Stephanie got a big increase in pay. Nick Khan did not. Go look it up. So now you're saying to yourself, why is WWE paying two salaries for CEOs when before they were only paying one? So if you think Vince McMahon, when he stepped down, did not keep in contact with his daughter and with his family and wasn't telling them his plans on returning, I don't know what cloud you're on right now. Every day, Vince McMahon, when he was planning his return, I think Stephanie knew all along. I think Stephanie knew all along. Vince did not just, oh, no, I'm fishing. You hear it? Oh, look, I got a big one. I got to go. You think he was doing that? There was negotiation. You got media rights deals coming up. You think Michelle Wilson and, Frank Riddick? Was that his name? You think they were just like, you know, just hanging out at a diner and the telephone rings? Hey, you know, we're bringing the band back together. You want to come back? So this was planned for a while. And Vince, in my opinion, told Stephanie early on, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. And once I have everything in order, and they had to wait for the media rights deals to come up. I want to give you a little timeline here. Okay. Back in 2020, I'm looking at the timeline. 2019 earnings came in for WWE. And it was the low end of estimates. So in 2019, WWE removed Michelle Wilson. Oh, it was George Barrios. I'm sorry. Did I say Frank Riddick earlier? Frank Riddick's been on. He's been there for a while. George Barrios. In 2020, George Barrios and Michelle Wilson were removed of their duties in WWE. Because the 2019 earnings came in a low estimate. When WWE announced that they were exiting, the stock dropped almost 30%. Do you remember that much going on? People were blaming COVID, people were blaming this. The stock in after-hours trading tanked 25%+. on their exits. Okay? Now, what happened the year before? What happened the year before? The media rights deals that were for Fox and USA Network. So even though the 2019 estimates came in low, they were just involved in negotiating TV deals with Fox and with the USA Network. So 2020's numbers were going to look much better because they just inked those TV deals. So now they leave, and Stephanie ultimately takes a little bit of the role of Michelle Wilson at that time. And it escalated and escalated. And if you remember, I know Jim Cornette talked about this a lot about 6 months ago. You remember that there was rumblings when Stephanie left. In fact, if you want to go back to May of 2022, that's probably when you'll see it, because he talked about it more than anything because he did the research. I didn't even want to do the research for that. But there was a lot of buzz that Stephanie McMahon stepped down because WWE was not happy with her work as a chief brand officer, with some of her negotiations. Remember all of that? Now, one more thing I want to tell you. When those deals were negotiated, TV deals, even Saudi Arabia 5 years ago, in 2019, the WWE stock was as high as $100 a share. Why is that important? Because when WWE released about 100, 150 people in 2020 and 2021, all right, a lot of those people were signed in 2019. When the WWE stock went up to $100 a share, they went on a hiring spree and they hired a boatload of people. When the stock tanked in 2020, after the exiting of those two individuals, and then you had COVID, and then you couldn't tour, WWE started trimming. And what was the discussion? See, when you hear that Triple H had a meeting with the roster yesterday, and that was true, and I did get some information about that, understand something. For 3 years, people act like they don't remember. For 3 years, we've talked about the rumors of WWE being sold. Do you remember, why is WWE releasing all these people? Because they're trying to make their numbers look as good as possible if they get presented to people who want to buy. How many years has every news site, blogger, podcaster, me, everyone, how many years have we been talking about that? WWE's cutting this. Why do they need to cut this? Why do they need to trim that? They're trying to make their numbers look as good as possible for a potential buyer. So why is it suddenly a shock that now WWE is presenting themselves and accepting bids? We've been talking about that for years. It's just a lot of us never thought that it would happen, period. A lot of us thought that if Vince is ever going to sell WWE, somebody's going to have to overpay big time. See, like my 1991 Lincoln Mark 7? All right, I fucking love that car. And I've had people say to me, how much you want for it? And I'm like, nah, I'm not selling it. I'll give you $10,000. That's pretty good for that car. It's not in the greatest of shape. I'm not selling it. If I'm ever going to sell it, you're going to have to overpay me big time. You want it that bad? You go on eBay and you see something, a vintage video game or something. Oh my God, I want it so bad. It's worth like $50. It's the only one on eBay and it sells for $300. It's not worth $300, but I wanted it that bad. I had to overpay for it. So that's what we all thought for the last couple of years, that if WWE is ever going to really think about a sale, somebody's going to probably have to overpay big time for it. Problem is, if you look in the last couple of years, COVID is still around. The economy is bad. WWE is recording record revenue, and that's not going to last forever. This might be WWE's peak at this very moment. So if you are a business person and you have a company and it's at its peak and you really feel that this is the peak, then this might be the time to sell. So now, okay, now we're 2022, the end of 2022. And what do you start hearing? The media rights deals are coming up. You know, the TV deals are up in 2024. Everybody talks about MJF for 2024. No, the TV deals, the media rights deals. This is hundreds of millions, if not billion plus, that's going to be negotiated. Well, who was involved in the original deals a couple of years ago? Michelle Wilson and George Barrios and Vince McMahon. So now we have TV media rights deals to negotiate again. And Vince McMahon is not comfortable with the way Stephanie's been handling things and others. And Vince told them, look, if you're going to negotiate media rights deals, I'm going to be there. And if I'm not there, I'm not signing anything. You think he just woke up one day and decided, I'm going to fuck with them today? Stephanie knew this all along. The family knew all along. Why wouldn't he not say, you? That's why a lot of this was known. We wouldn't know about it, but they all knew. It's just common sense. It's common sense. So now the media rights deals have to start to be negotiated, because remember, if there is an impending sale, the media rights deals go hand in hand with that. Remember what we talked about, that you don't make a TV rights deal with Comcast and sell to Disney? You know, so they come hand in hand. So now Vince, I want to be on hand to negotiate these deals. I own 83% of the shares. This is my fucking company. So not only has he come back, who am I going to bring back with me? George Barrios and Michelle Wilson, the two people who were involved in the original one. So now who do you want spearheading media rights deals? George Barrios, Michelle Wilson, Vince McMahon. So people in the board of directors, some of them absolutely despised Vince McMahon, but a job is a job is a job. And Vince stepped down. Good. He's out of the way. Now Vince returns. Every single one of those executives knew that Vince could do this. You heard about that lawsuit a couple of days ago that some shareholder is suing. I told you all on Wednesday, just as a teaser, if you research the law firm involved, that law firm sues WWE every couple of years. The only reason why people are making it a big deal is because click on me. Forget that I lied to you. Forget that I bullshitted you about stuff last week. No. Check this. It's a nothing burger. It's a nothing burger. Vince McMahon, what did they say? Strong-arming his return? If I own 83% voting power of a corporation and I own the majority shares, yeah, that's how it works. Maybe this little shareholder doesn't understand that's how things work. They might not like Vince McMahon because of all the womanizing, but that's how this works. Any financial outlet accuse Vince of committing any crime, committing something unethical other than doing this? No. So Stephanie knows in the back of her mind. Now let's go back to her press release. 8 months ago, she took a leave of absence. And within a few weeks, unexpectedly had the opportunity of a lifetime. She was offered to be CEO originally. CEO, chairwoman of WWE. How do you say no to that? She took it. But then Vince ultimately came back. And he wasn't alone. He brings George Barrios and Michelle Wilson with him. So now, wait a minute. I'm no longer going to be chairwoman. Wait a minute. You know, WWE might be sold. She basically was back to where she was in May of 2022. So not only does she want out, she wants officially out because of Vince McMahon pulling this power card. In the back of her mind, she knew. But remember what I said to all of you last week. You know, she owns almost $200 million in stock. She's fine. She's got money. But if WWE still is owned by Vince, the McMahon family, and Vince passes away, who's getting those Class B shares? They only go to Shane, Linda, Stephanie, or Shane and Stephanie's kids. That's it. It's got to go to a McMahon. It can't go to Triple H. So those are the only people that those stock shares could go to. So if Vince McMahon really does not have a solid relationship with his daughter, with his son, certainly not with his wife, you know, Vince McMahon may want to take his money, sell his company, enjoy this money, leave it to his significant other, leave it to his secretary, Leave it to Trump. Leave it to anything he wants. He could do whatever he wants with that money. So he'd rather be alive and in control of what he does with his money than if he passes on and then it gets divided however it is. That's my assumption with everything. That is my assumption. Gruss says Vince will take it to his grave. If he was going to take it to his grave, then why is he back? I'm going to die with my money. I'm going to let it bury me. Well, understand, you know, he could take those shares to his grave. The grave doesn't have 83% voting power. Somebody would have to have voting power. So it's not that cut and dry as it sounds. He'll take his money to his grave. But as far as his voting power and everything else, that's going to go to somebody. So this is what's been going on. So now Stephanie keeps going and says, I can't put into words how proud I am to what I have led to be the greatest company in the world, working alongside a remarkable leadership team and one of the strongest executives I have known in my co-CEO, Nick Khan. Our founder, Vince McMahon, has returned as executive chair and is leading an exciting process regarding strategic alternatives. And with Nick's leadership and Paul Levesque as chief content officer, I am confident WWE is in the perfect place to continue to provide unparalleled creative content and drive maximum value for shareholders. See that last sentence? WWE is in the perfect place to continue and provide unparalleled creative content and drive maximum value for shareholders. Remember that sentence. You're going to hear Vince say that over and over again. You're going to hear Nick Khan say that over and over again. Stephanie has already said it. You're going to hear that phrase in WWE press releases over and over and over and over and over. Even though Stephanie might be very, very bitter about her father, Stephanie might be very, very upset that he is back in power, but she is also a business person. She has quite a bit of money invested in that company. And if that company is not sold, she could ultimately come back and be the baddest bitch on the planet. She could be the. She could end up having more voting power than what Vince has right now, if it was left to her. So she concludes by saying, WWE is in such a strong position, I have decided to return to my leave and take it one step further with my official resignation. I look forward to cheering on WWE from the other side of the business, where I started when I was a little kid as a pure fan. I'll always remain dedicated to WWE. I truly love our company, our employees, our superstars, and our fans, and I am grateful to all our partners. Thank you for everything, then, now, forever, together. Steph. And she's going out graciously. You know, she's a very, very smart, intelligent woman. She is very well liked, and she is not going to say anything or even hint to anything derogatory. For the sake of WWE, for the sake of all the superstars, she is a leader. I know she might. Some people may feel that she abuses her power. She is a leader, and that's what leaders do. So you're not going to see anything publicly, but privately, it's a whole different ballgame. Now, Vince McMahon commented about her exit, and he said, first, I'd like to express my full support for Stephanie's personal decision. I'll forever be grateful that she offered to step in during my absence. Anybody notice anybody focusing on that comment that he said? Have you heard any show or read any place that, what did Vince just say? I'll forever be grateful that she offered to step in during my absence. Absence. Not abstinence, absence. Look up the definition of absence. Absence is temporary. Absence is temporary. If I'm absent from school, I plan on coming back. If I don't plan on coming back from school, I quit school. They knew all along. They knew all along. He goes on, gives us some praise. I'm proud to announce that Nick Khan will serve as WWE CEO. Nick's business acumen and mastery of the media industry have helped catapult our business to record revenue and profitability. Together, we look forward to to working with the board, and a critical moment in time to review our strategic alternatives and maximize value for WWE shareholders. Stephanie McMahon. I'm confident WWE is in a perfect position to continue to provide unparalleled creative content and drive maximum value for WWE shareholders. Nick Khan. I'm grateful to Vince McMahon and the board of directors for their ongoing support. I look forward to continuing to work closely with them and my WWE colleagues to ensure our company may thrive as the premier powerhouse in sports entertainment for years to come. And they go on and on and on. So, that's the timeline of what has gone on in the last couple of years. You know, when you saw people saying, oh, Nick Khan is going to step down, you know, before you know, why? That guy is like one of the major players in WWE right now. That guy has got so much pull and power, it's not even funny. That guy has produced incredible results in 2019, 2020 with the TV deals. Barrios and Wilson helped with some massive results. So now you got the media rights deals coming up. And WWE is interested in selling if someone wants to buy. Don't leave out merger and acquisition. That is the one thing that people are leaving out. That WWE could have someone join forces and buy a good chunk of the stock. And Vince could still be owning. He could still have some substantial voting power. You know, Stephanie still owns stock. Yeah, so, you know, this is going to take quite some time. Now, WWE just retained a company called The Rain Group. It's a financial advisor, Kirkland and Ellis as a legal advisor, and August LLC as strategic communications advisor to support WWE's management team and the board of directors in connection with a review of strategic alternatives to maximize value for WWE stockholders and shareholders. That's what's going on. Listen, like I said earlier, this AEW stuff, it's funny, it's entertaining, but people that are going to write that they are seriously considering buying that company, all they're trying to do is get you to click on their shit. That's not happening. It's not happening. As I told you, Mercedes was not going to debut in AEW on January 11th. Vince was not going to fuck with WWE creative. Vince was not going to do this. I'm telling you, even if they got additional investors, why would they take almost all of their money or almost all of their money and put it in WWE at the pinnacle? You know, what happens if the stock, you think shareholders in WWE would welcome Tony Khan and Shad Khan buying that company? If I was a WWE, listen, nothing personal against them. If I was a WWE share, I'd fucking sell my shares in a second. What happens if the stock goes down 50%? What happens? Yeah. Oh, no. I changed my mind. It's stupid, man. It's stupid. You know, and again, if I'm Tony Khan, I don't say a word. I don't dispel it. I don't shoot it down. If I'm WWE, I just ignore it. I don't address, because you're going to get so many clowns that are going to make claims that this person wants to buy, that this one's on. Look at the Saudi Arabia shit. That is awful of what so many places did to you all a week ago. That was awful because they said it was sold. That is dangerous. That is so fucking dangerous. And listen, we'll move on now. I want to say one last thing in closing. I want to repeat something. I am very worried as a pro wrestling fan if WWE is sold. If it's a merger and acquisition, I'm cool with that. What is that song? All right. Anyway, I'm very, very concerned because, as I've said before, if an outside company buys WWE and they want to put their own executives in the company and they have a vision of what World Wrestling Entertainment should be going forward And us wrestling fans, investors, and everyone else is like, nah, this isn't the WWE that I liked and watched. Remember, all the wrestlers that have been committed to WWE, there is no longer that emotional personal tie because WWE is WWE only and name value only. A lot of those wrestlers could get up and leave. They might find greener pastures as going to Hollywood, opening up a fan time page, you know, going to the alternative, AEW, going to Japan, getting out of wrestling entirely. You know, how many wrestlers have you come across that do this pretty much as a job? You know, they consider themselves actors and actresses. So I'm very worried what pro wrestling is 3 years from now, 5 years from now. I mean, pro wrestling may never be as big as it is again. And I'm not trying to be dramatic about it. That is me as a wrestling fan. I'm very concerned. You may not like Vince McMahon. You may not like some of the WWE creative that goes on. You may not like some of the booking. You may not like Kevin Dunn. You may not like Bruce Pritchard. You may not like this. Well, you know what? There's a lot that I do like. I like what's going on with the Bloodline. I like the women's division. I like all the wrestlers that are on the roster, almost all of them. I like, you know, that they focus more storyline driven. I like, there's a lot of things I do like about WWE. And I want some schmuck from Disney or Comcast or Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is so ridiculous. You know, when people write, oh, there's a lot of wrestlers on the roster that would leave, would walk out of Saudi Arabia. They fucking walk out when they're going to Saudi Arabia for an event. I'm not going. I mean, why? That's common sense. So I'm very worried if WWE is sold. Even if WWE is sold and Triple H remains head of creative, Stephanie probably would return. Stephanie probably would return. If she could get that opportunity, Nick Khan would probably stay. Even if a lot of what is in place now stays, you know, you run it. You do what you're doing. You know, what happens if they start losing revenue? You know, Triple H doesn't have the Midas touch with everything creative. We've talked about that. I mean, if you read between the lines, you know, what we see on TV, other than some wrestlers getting a little bit of an extra opportunity, which is great, Gunther, Braun, others, some signings have been great, some re-signings have been awful. But at the end of the day, it still feels like WWE. You still got antics. You still got what you got. The WWE, this does not feel like, this isn't your uncle's WWE. No, it still feels a hell of a lot the same. And what happens if a publicly traded trillion-dollar company buys it? They think you should go in a little different direction. You know, we don't like this. You know, we don't want this. What's going to happen? And that's my concern. You know, people were talking about back in the day when Ted Turner bought WCW. You know, Ted Turner was a pro wrestling fan, and Ted Turner, you know, got a lot of the people who were wrestling people and stood. Once it started going corporate, you had the, standards and practices. You can't do this, you can't do that. And they competed with WWE in the Attitude Era, and you can't do this. And then they tried to go between the lines, and, you know, you got what you got. And then you think about all of the political power that some wrestlers had, and, you know, the rest is history. But AOL Time Warner, and that's the worst part about it, when you remember WCW. WCW went out of business not just because of the money that they lost, and they lost TV, but it also went out of business because AOL Time Warner had some major financial losses that year that were well over and above WCW's losses. And when they were trying to streamline, they said, you know what? Let's get rid of WCW in the process. You know, in an indirect way, that's what happened with WWE and their releases the last 2 years. When they started tanking in the stock and started losing some revenue, and they started getting some losses, and they started, you know, not having the low end of their, you know, their estimates, they had to trim and trim and trim. And 100, 150 wrestlers were the result of that. So now the money that's coming in, you know, you don't rock the boat. That's why, you know, even if Vince McMahon wants to be so involved with creative again, he's not stupid. He wants to sell this, and he wants to sell it at the most money possible, maximize the shareholders. So he's not gonna step in for creative, and Triple H, you know, we thank you, but you know, I'm back and I'll do creative now. You know, anybody that feeds that to you, they probably couldn't even run an indie wrestling company. And they're gonna tell you that he's gonna do this there. You know, so all right, so let's talk briefly about SmackDown yesterday and AEW Rampage. You know, man, you know, Ruby Soho yesterday, you know, yeah, she had the crimson mask. You know, they paid a nice tribute to the Dudleys as well, you know, wearing the camouflage. It was what it was, that main event, but to be honest with you, it's what I said on Wednesday. You know, unfortunately, Street Fight is the cover-up that the wrestling matches have been shit. You know, I'm nothing against Ruby or Ty Conti, Anna Jay, or anybody else, or Willow, but, you know, you look at some of those wrestling matches that they've had the last month or two, and you see all the clips on Twitter. I don't need to bring it up. So, oh, we'll just use weapons and have people bleed. And now Ruby Soho, her entire AEW career so far, her probably moment that everybody's going to pinpoint is this. You know, you look at Anna Jay and you look at Ty Conti. You know, every time you want to highlight what they have done, there's always like blood and weapons out there. So, you know, anybody could look like $1 million, you know, using Street Fight stuff. The problem is, are they progressing on the women's side? And, you know, the match was what it was, but it was good. But you understand why it was a street fight. All right, let's briefly get into SmackDown. Four matches yesterday. The matches that everybody was focusing on. And by the way, I see a couple of super chats came in. Most of them are about Royal Rumble, so we'll get into that in a moment. I see one with Vince. We'll get into it in a moment as well. Yesterday, SmackDown was focused on two matches. Gunther defending the Intercontinental Championship against Braun Strowman, and the other match, Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn. By the way, I don't know if you saw the shirt. That is a little vintage Kevin Steen and El Generico from the Ring of Honor feud back about 10 years ago. So I'm going to wear this when they had the match, and I'm going to wear this when they fight for the tag titles at WrestleMania. Braun Strowman versus Gunther yesterday was fabulous. Braun lost clean, which I think surprised a lot of people. Gunther is a fucking maniac. And Gunther is going into the Royal Rumble match. We had some added participants yesterday. Remember the moment I want, we need Gunther to chop Brock Lesnar at least once in that Royal Rumble. I think Brock Lesnar is all for, I think Brock Lesnar would get a kick out. I think Brock's like, fucking chop me, man. I got to see, I want it in slow motion. I just want Brock's chest to cave in and just see that chop and like, it's going to happen. There's going to be a confrontation as two. The WrestleMania match, bullshit. WrestleMania's Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar. That's it. I know some people are still holding out hope for the Royal Rumble. I don't want to see Brock versus Lashley at the Royal Rumble. The Royal Rumble matches are going to overshadow Brock versus Lashley. That's the WrestleMania match. You stick with it. But I don't mind a little moment with Gunther and Brock. I think that's going to happen. So that match was fabulous yesterday. Yesterday, the storyline with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn was they had a great 20-minute match. Early on in the night, Sami goes to knock on the door, you know, for the bloodline, and Paul Heyman opens the door, and he's like, where's everybody? And Paul's like, oh, no, you're going to do this yourself. You're going to prove, you know, you bloodline. Sammy's like, wait, nobody's going to come out there with me? So they pretty much, we think, they're going to leave Sami high and dry, and Kevin Owens will probably get the win, and Sami will fail in his quest to not only beat Kevin Owens, but injure him leading into the Royal Rumble, since it's going to be Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns for the championship. So they have the match yesterday, and unfortunately, the Usos, the Bloodline get involved, minus Roman Reigns, at the very end of the match. They attack Kevin Owens, right before Sami Zayn was going to hit a Huluva kick. And you could see Sami's like, the fuck? Add this DQ victory for Kevin Owens. And they destroy Kevin Owens. Solo Sikoa puts Kevin Owens to a table. They leveled Kevin Owens. But you could see Sami Zayn kind of like pissed off, like, man, you fucking took that away from me, man. So that is a little of where they're going here. They don't have full confidence in Sami Zayn to do his job. And that's why they went and took care of business. Now, what happens next week? It'll be very, very interesting. That will be the next to last SmackDown leading into the Royal Rumble. What Sami Zayn does at the Royal Rumble, we still don't know. We still don't know. You know, my personal opinion, I don't think Sami Zayn wrestles at the Royal Rumble. I think he has to be in the corner of Roman Reigns, and then something backfires. Roman Reigns will win. He ain't losing that championship to Kevin Owens, but something's going to backfire somewhere. Or maybe there's a disagreement, an argument, something, and that is the beginning and the end of Sami Zayn in the bloodline. So it's not that quick, though. Remember, we still got Elimination Chamber. So there's still other, you know, roads. There's other pit stops before we get to Mania. It's not Royal Rumble, and then next thing you know, Mania's here. We're still a little ways away. But match was great yesterday. I was looking forward to it. We knew from a month and a half ago that this match was going to happen. And, you know, the ending, listen, you know, I talk about this before, that unfortunately for a lot of us, pro wrestling is not must-see TV anymore. Live. We'll watch clips online. We'll check spoilers the next day. We'll do things, you know, to get updated. If something really awesome went down, we could see it on Twitter. You know, there's so many ways to watch. A lot of us, you know, me, I watch it, you know, because I do the shows. I'm a fan. I'm not doing much else. You know, yesterday I had the watch parties going, but I was preparing for today's show, trying to gather some facts. Not as easy as you think, especially when people, a lot of websites don't do the research. But, you know, I'm still one that will watch things in real time. But for a lot of people out there, they'll check the results the next day. And if they want to see what happened with Bray Wyatt, which we'll talk about in a moment, they could go watch it on Twitter for 5 minutes. And I think 2 weeks ago with John Cena, you know, even though he returned, I think all of us expected it was going to be 3 minutes of gaga with John Cena. And when the match was going on, you knew that John Cena was probably going to just get the hot tag and that was going to be his role. And are you going to wait 2 hours watching SmackDown Live, even though it's cool to see John Cena back, but are you going to watch it for 2 hours just to see him have 3 minutes of gaga? You know, that's a hard sell. And yesterday, I think it left fans with a little bit of a bitter taste in their mouth because, you know, I'm not against the bloodline, you know, stealing the victory away from Sami Zayn by getting the DQ. But I think after a 20-minute match, I think people wanted more of a specific, concrete conclusion other than a DQ. And, you know, again, nothing against Triple H. I love a lot of what he's doing, that excitement, that energy. You know, wrestlers don't feel like they're on eggshells. You know, they can come to him if they have a creative idea. He is there to listen. He's more like one of the boys than anything else. And that's all positives. You know, working there is more enjoyable. Now, before we talk about Bray Wyatt for a minute, Triple H had a meeting yesterday with the wrestlers. And he basically told them that, look, it's no secret, Vince is back, but nothing changes as far as his role and creative and everything that we're building and doing. And, you know, remember what I said earlier. The idea of WWE being sold is not a new idea. It's not new news. For 3-4 years, we've all talked about it. every time WWE had a financial quarterly report, every time a bunch of releases were done, every time something was trimmed, everybody and their mother would say, wow, WWE is primed for a sale. WWE is doing this to really tighten up their numbers so it's even more attractive. Wrestlers are aware of that as well. Wrestlers in the back of their mind know the last couple of years that WWE, Nick Khan, has been on record multiple times the last couple of years. You know, look, you know, we're not pursuing a sale right now, but, you know, our phone lines are open. You know, anything is on the table. They know in the back of their mind that this day could come at any time. But with Vince, it's not necessarily to sell everyone. It's more about Vince as far as the wrestlers go. And Triple H assured those wrestlers that Vince is back just to oversee the... It's not just. I mean, it's obviously affects the future of WWE. But the corporate side of things, the media rights, a possible sale. He's not reviewing the talent. He's not reviewing performances. He's not watching this. He's not making this. He's not telling them to release this. He's not involved on that side. And yes, at any time, Vince could turn around and extend his role into creative. If a big event is advertised and it doesn't sell out, or if two, three events in a row have poor ticket sales, if things are starting to tank financially, yeah, he might want to make some changes. Why wouldn't he? But as far as creative right now, nothing changes. And that is a fact. That is not a lie. It's not, you know, just Triple H trying to, you know, cover his ass and appease Vince McMahon. That is the truth. He reiterated to the roster that everything that he does remains as is, and what we're doing remains as is. And whatever happens with a sale or merger and acquisition or media rights deal, that is what Vince is involved in. That's why, if you notice, you know, nobody is really clickbaiting you saying, oh, was Vince at Raw? Was Vince at SmackDown? Of course he's not going to be there. I think he's going to be at the 30th anniversary of Raw. He should be. With all due respect, he should be. I don't know if he will, but he should be. If he's not there in person, they at least will show some highlights with him on the screen. So that was the meeting I had yesterday. Now, a couple other things that went down yesterday too. We had some additional names for the Royal Rumble. On the women's side, now in the Royal Rumble so far, it's only four names, but something pretty cool happened yesterday. Raquel Rodriguez, Rhea Ripley, Candice LeRae, and Liv Morgan. Yesterday, Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez were added to the Royal Rumble match. And before they had a match, you know, Liv Morgan is talking to Maxine Dupri. What an outfit yesterday. That's all I'm going to say. And Emma. And Liv is touting, you know, like about, you know, enter. I don't know if Liv is going to enter at number one or something happened with that. And Raquel Rodriguez shows up. And Raquel is like, I think people forgot. Like, I'm the biggest woman in this company, and I'm this, and I'm that, and this. And she, like, throws an insult to Liv Morgan. I fucking loved it. Liv Morgan is like, you know, I went to a psychic earlier today. And you know what the psychic said? And she shows her hand, like, she read my palm. And Raquel Rodriguez, and I'm just talking character-wise, dumb son of a bitch. She's like, oh, what did they find in your palm? Slaps her in the face. Great, man. I'm telling you, Liv Morgan's ballsy character is growing on me. It's growing on me. The extreme things that she was doing was kind of like, you know, it was hard to like really like get used to and accept it. But I liked that yesterday. Hey, my palm reader. You see, what do you see in your palm? And just, oh, look. It slaps her in the face, man. That's almost like, hey, look over here. Like when you would tell someone, like, that was good. Anyway, Raquel Rodriguez beats her. Beats her pretty substantially, I should say, as well. So they got a little thing going on. Sonya Deville and Charlotte had a big pull apart yesterday as well. Sonya wants another match, and Sonya probably will get another match, but maybe they will have a match at the Royal Rumble. I don't see Charlotte Flair, obviously, in the Royal Rumble because whoever wins could challenge her at WrestleMania. I don't think they're going to do this thing like, hey, I'll win the Royal Rumble and then I won't have to have a match at WrestleMania. She's a babyface right now. Babyfaces won't do that. So I don't expect Charlotte to be in the Royal Rumble match. Adam Pearce announced that starting next week, we talked about this on Monday, and sure enough, they did do what we all anticipated. SmackDown tournament for the new number one contenders for the Usos SmackDown Tag Team Championships. We now have number one contenders being determined for SmackDown's tag titles and Raw's tag titles. Take note, Usos weren't pissed about that. Now, obviously, they weren't going to be shown on the screen because they showed up at the main event yesterday with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. But, you know, the Usos should be livid right now that they're going to have to wrestle two matches. Now, the question is, what happens at the Royal Rumble? And we will see. But now the writing is on the wall that there's going to be a split of the WWE Tag Team Championships. And I think we touched on that like a month ago with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And it just, whoever wins the titles, they're not going to be stay unified tag team. The unified part of it is for the Usos and the Usos only. Roman Reigns, the unified part of it, will probably be Roman Reigns and Roman Reigns only. I could see, on the heavyweight side, another unified champion for a short period of time. But honestly, with the history that Roman Reigns has done, and the Usos with this reign, leave the unified just for them. And maybe even have them lose both sets of titles in the same night. Because I think it would be kind of confusing for some people to look back and say, oh, they were unified champions until this date, but they were still SmackDown champions or Raw champions after this date. I think you ultimately do both. And maybe they do wrestle two matches. Listen, we've had gauntlet matches where some people wrestle four times in the same night. It can be done. The only thing is it going to be on a pay-per-view, premium live event, or is it going to be on a SmackDown or a Raw? My gut feeling tells me that some of these matches will take place on regular TV. So we'll see. Also yesterday, with the tournament, they announced the first match in this tournament for SmackDown. It's going to be Sheamus and Drew McIntyre taking on the Viking Raiders. I'm sorry for saying this. I'm just expressing an opinion. Just because, you know, we do the shows and we are always upbeat and we do it without hate and clickbait, that doesn't mean we can't criticize. My friends, I love their look. I love what they have done with Valhalla. The Viking Raiders, intimidating motherfuckers. Every time I look at this, I can't buy into it. I can't buy into it. It's not from the Street Profits with the challenges and the ladies' man stuff with all that. I can't buy into them. I have this bad feeling that WWE may force them to get some type of a run. Not saying titles, but some type of a run. I'm just not feeling it. I don't know if any of I love the look. And Valhalla, she is doing great in her role. I'm just not feeling it. Hit Row turning heel. Okay. I'm with an open mind. Let's see how that goes. Viking Raiders, though, let me put it this way. I would not be surprised if they're released in 2023. I don't want to see anybody released, but they showed up in NXT for a cup of coffee again. It was a surprise. It was fun. It didn't really go anywhere. They came back, you know, they were going to be built up, and then they disappeared again. I mean, if you complain about Lacey Evans or what they did a couple of times, they did it with the Viking Raiders too. They left and came back like three times. And every time they come back, the look looks better. You could have fire. You could have raw meat. You could have makeup. You could have blood coming down. You could have whatever. But at the end of the day, it's the Viking Raiders. I don't know where it went downhill, but for me, I just can't get into them again. Just can't get into them again. I think Lacey Evans, Rams fan, I think she might just be back for the Royal Rumble. It's only 2 weeks away. I think she probably will be in a backstage segment with someone and she declares herself in the Royal Rumble. Maybe she cuts a promo. But Lacey Evans, I think, will return in the Royal Rumble. And you know what? That might be the best place to do it, especially with some of the controversy with the remarks she talked about with autism, which was just foolish, in my opinion. Before I get into the Super Chats, and we'll talk a little AEW, a couple of news tidbits, get out of here. Yesterday, Tegan Knox beat Xia Li. Anybody that follows my shows knows how much of a fan I am of Xia Li. Xia Li, I'm left with the same feeling. Changed her look a little bit with the hair. Love the look. But the way they have used Xia Li in the last 6 months has been awful. I think the way they've used Emma since she's been back has been awful. All right. Again, you know, everybody wants to make Triple H, he has the Midas touch with everything. I have said this before. I feel like some people were brought back to fill spots to lose more than anything else. I know that sounds awful. And I know there's some 50-50 booking. Tegan Knox got a win yesterday. Does anybody feel like Tegan Knox has any momentum whatsoever to go for a championship? No. No. But I feel, you know, oh, look, another win for Triple H. He righted the wrong of Vince release. A lot of these people have been brought back to fill the roles of losses. And that's my feeling on it. And Xia Li was never released. But how do you repair this? She's now doing the thing, going down the ring again. Yeah! 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 If I was at ringside, I'd start laughing. I'm not intimidated anymore. I'm serious. If she looked at me in my face and she went, yeah! I'd be like, and I'm a fan of hers. I don't like, bring her back to NXT. Seriously. Bring her back to NXT. Kick Roxanne Perez in the head. You know, not real, for real, but bring her back to NXT. Because what's happened on SmackDown, honestly, and I know I'm not alone on this. Xia Li, you know, they did the, I've said this before. She had two of the greatest sets of vignettes leading to an appearance, a return. They did that in NXT with her and Boa. Remember that? Remember him? And they're being like tortured. Those fucking vignettes were incredible. And then it went to nowhere. Then, you know, they did the thing about, you know, my landlord, he, you know, treat family like crap. And, but the cartoon thing, but that was great too. She's had two, and look at the Viking Raiders. It's all style, but the substance is not there. They're getting these incredible productions and everything. They're setting forest fires and in the middle of the mountains with, you know, raw meat everywhere. And they're like doing all these rituals. And I'm like, all right, that's cool and everything. But I like the vignettes. But then when they're wrestling, it's almost like you're showing me slow motion, like preparing like this beautiful steak and sprinkling the sea salt very, very slowly in 4K. And you turn it over and you hear the sizzle and you throw a big fat piece of butter on it and you're sauteing everything. And then you bite into it and you're like, it looks great, but it tastes like rubber. That's how I feel. And it sucks because now I'm starting to feel that way about Dexter Lumis. Bray Wyatt yesterday. Huh. I'm telling you, man. Pretty funny. That hurt. Now, they brought back the rocking chair. Oop, I accidentally closed it. That's all right. I get it back. They brought back the rocking chair yesterday. Very, very cool. 10 minutes of an intro and sitting in the ring. Now we got a little more information about the Mountain Dew match. Okay, the lights are going to be off. I think it's Falls Count Anywhere, no disqualification. Interpretation, we're going to see Uncle Howdy get involved. This time around, does Uncle Howdy take out Bray Wyatt? Does he take out LA Knight? Will we get a reveal? But this is to hype up Mountain Dew's new soda. And that's what it's going to be. Now, the big news yesterday with Bray Wyatt was not that. In the ring, you know, and did you pay attention? Revel in what you are? Revel in who you are? If you listen to what he said yesterday, and you listen to Uncle Howdy on the screen at the very beginning of those vignettes months ago, it's the same voice. They're not hiding it anymore. And Bray Wyatt, it's almost as if he's not hiding anymore all these personalities. Remember way back when I said Wyatt Six is the six shades of Bray? Not Grayson Waller and Joe Gacy and this person, this person. It's the six shades of Bray. Now, yes, you put Uncle Howdy out there, he isn't just going to suddenly disappear and it was just a figment of his imagination. It's going to be revealed as a person. But it's somebody under a mask. See, that's what people need to understand. Uncle Howdy, you know, is a character, but when Uncle Howdy is revealed to be, whether it's Bo Dallas or Vincent or somebody else, it's now a person wearing a mask. So Uncle Howdy in Bray's mind could still be there, but somebody is wearing the mask. So we'll see. But we had a QR code yesterday. We had a QR code, and I didn't think much of it when I saw it. Now, WWE's been a little bit strict online with copyright lately. So somebody gave me a little advice as far as how to show these on the screen without having any issues. But yesterday, we had a QR code. And when you click the QR code, you get a screenshot of Bray Wyatt in the Firefly Funhouse. And I got to show it to you in three segments. First one, he does this.
See you in hell.
All right. So, see you in hell. He's laughing, wearing, you know, the Bray Wyatt Firefly Funhouse, almost like the Mr. Rogers sweater and everything. Hey, that Bray Wyatt character's coming back. Hell, some of you said this yesterday, and I thought about it and be like, that would be fucking awesome, but I don't think it's going to happen. What some of you were saying, I'll tell you in a minute, because I want to show you a little bit more. So, Bray Wyatt, he's telling everybody, I'll see you in hell. And then he does this. Oh, I fucked it up. Hold on. We got to have audio. We got to have audio. There you go.
Let me in.
All right. Let me in. Okay. Kind of feels like flashbacks of the Firefly Funhouse with The Fiend and Bray Wyatt. Well, what happens next? Well, this happened. They're teasing the return of Bray Wyatt, Firefly Funhouse, and The Fiend. Some of you brought up yesterday, talking to me online when we saw this, I love the idea. I don't see it happening. Some of you say, are we going to get the three faces of Foley in the Royal Rumble? Could we see the current Bray Wyatt or rocking chair Bray Wyatt, Firefly Funhouse Bray Wyatt, The Fiend, all in the Battle Royal? I love it. Does anybody think Bray Wyatt is going to wrestle four times? Now, let me go a little further with this. I know it's something you're going to say. Oh, Bray Wyatt, well, he may only have to wrestle a short amount of time as, you know, the Firefly Funhouse guy. He goes to the back, changes his outfit a little bit, comes back out, and he's rocking chair, the original Bray Wyatt. Then he gets eliminated, and he comes back again as the Fiend. Plus, he's got the match with LA Knight. Do you want to really see Bray Wyatt appear in the Royal Rumble three times and get eliminated in such short spurts? I don't want to see that. I think it would be ridiculous. I think it would hurt him more than anything else. I mean, don't give me, oh, well, maybe he'll eliminate himself. He'll double clothesline somebody over the top rope. Like, why is he going to just randomly do that to individuals? It's not going to lead to feuds. So maybe next year's Royal Rumble. But this Royal Rumble, I don't think so at all. I don't think so at all. All right, this came in since we're on the topic of Bray Wyatt. Rams fan, thank you very much for the three spot. Bray after the Royal Rumble, who does he fight? I think he fights with Uncle Howdy. Listen, this is going to be a street fight. I mean, if I'm going to criticize the Ruby Soho stuff from yesterday, I didn't criticize the match. They worked their asses off, the women. But you understand why a street fight happens in AEW. It's not to settle feuds. It's more because the regular matches aren't getting over, or there's a lot of caca mixed in with it. So the street fights, even some of the moments yesterday, were very, very orchestrated and very, very sloppy. But the street fights and the blood and the thumbtacks and the chairs, we had this conversation on Wednesday. So Bray Wyatt, even though he's having this lights out match at the Royal Rumble, I don't see him suddenly having matches all the time on TV. I think the next chapter of the Uncle Howdy storyline kicks in. Maybe the reveal happens. Then maybe Bray is going to feud that way. Maybe Uncle Harper gets introduced. I think Uncle Harper, you know, look, it's not a guarantee that this Uncle Harper character appears. I think it still does. But let me tell you something. You know, if it's a tribute to Luke Harper in some capacity, that might be a little bit too raw and emotional. And maybe that doesn't develop as far as TV goes. You know, it was a little sad yesterday to see, you know, Bray Wyatt in a rocking chair and you don't have Luke Harper and Eric Rowan on his sides. You know, it's a little depressing to see it like that. Hell, maybe you do get Eric Rowan back, but then that void of Luke Harper not being there will be so visible and obvious that I don't think you could get past that. I don't think you could get past that. You almost got to feel a little bad for Eric Rowan, you know, because, man, I expected that guy to have a lot more work on TV across multiple promotions, and he really hasn't. So, all right. Sticky Fingers Frank, do I think Shane McMahon returns to the WWE picture in some capacity? It's possible. It's possible. You know, we get the aura that Shane McMahon and his father Vince are not in the best of, you know, graces as well. Again, I want to stress, we don't know them personally. We don't know what goes on every day. We don't know, you know, their feelings. We don't know, although you hear from a lot of people that Vince's infidelity really put a dagger in the relationship, a lot of members of his family. Look, if you look at people over the years, very famous people who have committed large amounts of infidelity, you know, what usually ends up happening at the end of the day may not happen right away, but sooner or later, that person is almost disowns themselves from their family, separates themselves from their family, or they're disowned from their entire family. With Vince McMahon, it's a little different because you got billions of dollars involved. And look, you know, I can never envision my dad cheating on my mom. And I can never envision my dad of being, you know, just somebody who I would despise. But if there's billions involved, man, you know, I might have to just like, you know, oh God, I'll just pretend I'm the character on TV and I'll just hold my nose and just give that perception like, oh, Dad, I still love you. I still love you. You know, I understand, you know, you got wants and needs and, you know, mom, she'll be okay. I don't know how I would be able to react like that. So Shane, it could happen. I always thought Shane McMahon and Triple H's relationship was great. I think Shane McMahon could down the line. Anything is possible. But I think he has had, you know, a bitter experience with WWE one too many times, you know, and I think, you know, he just doesn't want to be part of it. I think Shane, if you look, it almost feels like Shane McMahon enjoys the private life more than anything else, more of a simpler life. That's the impression I get of Shane McMahon, that he just loves to live a little bit more simple, quiet, private life with his family, you know, his wife, his kids, you know, obviously relatives and friends, but he comes off as someone that doesn't need, Brian Danielson. I think a lot of you agree with me that Brian Danielson comes off as a guy that, you know, if he had like a really nice log cabin and, you know, had Ronda Rousey comes off that way towards me. Ronda Rousey's got a lot of money, more than you think. But she comes off as me as like, you know, she can live simple, you know, not be extravagant, don't need a $10 million house, and, you know, everything is cool in the gang. There are people like that. You know, so that's my feelings about Shane McMahon, to be honest with you. So, staying on the topic of Vince, Chris Cutra, thank you for the 10th spot. I know anything can happen, but can you honestly see Vince, and knowing his history in wrestling, selling out to a rival promoter? Would his ego would seem like the ultimate defeat for him? No, no. Not at all. Not at all. If the price is right, they will sell. If Vince sells WWE and gets more money than was expected, you know, remember this. This is what I think a lot of people forget. When WCW was sold in 2001, when ECW went out of business and filed bankruptcy, when WWE picked up those companies, they picked them up when they were at the lowest of the lows. All right, when you buy libraries, you're buying libraries from companies that are no longer existent. You look at Ring of Honor. I know people online wanted to make it seem like Ring of Honor was sold for $20, $30 million because they wanted to make it feel that Ring of Honor was worth a lot more than what it really was, and it was pretty much a library, to be honest. So, you know, but at the end of the day, Ring of Honor is at their lowest of the low because they weren't doing regular TV and they still aren't doing regular TV. What happened is starting to do TV in January. I told you it wasn't going to happen. January's going to come and go. February's going to come and go. We're going to get towards wrestling. You might have one or two tapings, and guess what? Those tapings will happen and then they'll be put in the bag and then they'll just do another one, and then they'll start putting stuff on. But once you start putting that on the Ring of Honor media streaming, you can't stop. That's why I haven't started yet, because once you start, you can't stop. You can't put it on the channel for 2 weeks and then disappear for 2 months and then bring it back again. That's why if you notice Ring of Honor, I don't know if you've all seen their Twitter account, all they push is the library. All they push is the library. There is no hint whatsoever about new TV being taped anytime soon. So as far as, you know, a rival competitor, if they want to overpay, Vince will sell to them. You think Vince gives a shit? Oh, wow, you know, I can't believe I ultimately sold to Shad Khan or Tony Khan. You know, I'm sure Tony Khan would boast about it that I'm the new kingpin. Vince is not, if he's offered $10 billion from them, you think Vince is going to be like, I ain't selling it to you. What, so you could go on to, you think Vince gives a fuck? So no, I mean, if the price is right, WWE will be sold. But the idea of AEW buying WWE, that is asinine, ridiculous. You want AEW to strengthen AEW. For all you Ring of Honor fans out there, you want AEW to build Ring of Honor. You don't want to keep buying toys or buying fucking puzzles and putting a third of the puzzle together. You buy a 100-piece puzzle. Hey, I got 50 pieces done. Oh, wait, there's a 1,000-piece puzzle. Oh, my God, look at that one. Put that one on the shelf. And, you know, I'll put a piece together here and there. And then I start putting together a 1,000-piece puzzle. Oh, look, 10,000 pieces. You don't want them to just keep buying stuff. And then what are you going to do with it? Who's going to run it? Who's going to run it? I mean, it's when you really start putting common sense in it, you realize we're going to have wrestlers being EVPs for WWE. It's so stupid. But again, people will do that for hits, views, and clickbait. And Tony Khan and Shad Khan are not going to go public and dispel that. Anybody, listen, Tony Khan can say right now, yeah, I'm interested in buying WWE. But he won't tell you how much he would pay because he might turn around and say, hey, I'll give you WCW money. I'll give you $10 million. Hey, go fuck yourself. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I could turn around right now and say, yeah, I'm interested in buying WWE. You know, anybody could say that. At the end of the day, if you don't know how much they are willing to offer, Tony, oh, I'll give you $1 billion. Are you fucking nuts? That's not a real credible offer. You know what that is? That's somebody who goes on eBay and sees a $10,000 car and there's no bids on it and says, you know what, just for the fuck of it, I'm going to bid $1,000. Maybe I'll get lucky and get the $10,000 car for $1,000. Does that mean that I was truly interested in that car? Or did I think maybe I could get it for a crazy steal? How many of you have done that? You see something on eBay, you want it, it's too much money, but there's virtually no bids on it. So you're like, hey, you know, I know it's buy it now, $900. Hey, I'll bid $50. Maybe I'll get lucky and maybe, oh, the auction is spelled wrong. Maybe nobody will notice. You know, that's what this is all about. That's what it's all about. Rams fan with another two spot. Was Shane's Royal Rumble payout true? No. There was reports going around that Shane McMahon got $700,000+ for a Royal Rumble appearance. Just no. That's the best. I don't even entertain it. And it's funny because whoever wrote that, they didn't just write like $700,000 or $500,000. They wrote like $716,000. Like, come on, man. You know, if there's an SEC filing or some type of filing as far as who got paid what, you know, maybe Shane McMahon, as a performer, maybe he got paid. This is what could be. Maybe Shane McMahon, let's say, what was the number? $768,000? I don't remember if that's, let's just go with $768,000. Somebody was reporting that Shane McMahon got paid $768,000 for the Royal Rumble. What could have happened is maybe Shane McMahon as a talent was paid $768,000 for the year and only made one appearance on TV. That could be. Hey, look at Miro. Look at Miro. If Miro appears just once in a year on AEW television, or let's be a little more kind. Let's say Miro shows up once in 6 months on AEW TV. And let's say Miro gets $1 million a year. Now, over the last 6 months, he only showed up once. Is it safe to say that Miro got paid $500,000 for that appearance? Am I wrong? That's how you play. That's how these people get cute with the numbers. So I'm not saying that Shane McMahon didn't make $768,000, whatever the number is. But, you know, you start really thinking about it, you know, that's probably where they came up with that. So, all right. So we're up to date with those. Yesterday, as I said, Mickey James, she won the Knockouts Championship. You know, I don't know if she'll appear at the Royal Rumble. I'm hoping Nick Aldis is in the Royal Rumble. I mean, there's no guarantee that that'll happen, but I think Nick Aldis being in the Royal Rumble will be a lot of fun. I hope Mickey James is in the Royal Rumble. If you notice, suddenly some wrestlers that are appearing on Impact are now going to be appearing on AEW TV. In particular, Kushida. Kushida wrestled yesterday on Impact Wrestling's Hard to Kill pay-per-view. Kushida is going to wrestle on Dynamite Wednesday against Darby Allin. Are AEW and Impact Wrestling maybe starting to scissor? I think it's possible that New Japan pay very close attention to it because we talked about that with WWE. AAA pay very close attention. We talked about with WWE and AAA. if New Japan and AAA are going to start doing a little business with WWE, then AEW by default may have to work with Impact or even NWA. Because remember, you know, like, look, it's cool that Juice Robinson took on Darby Allin yesterday, and it was a great match. But obviously, you know, they don't have good opponents for Darby Allin to beat as far as the Stars of Tomorrow. So they're using creative names. So Darby is beating legit names. Juice Robinson's legit. This Wednesday on Dynamite, Darby Allin's going to beat Kushida. Kushida's going to wrestle on Dynamite. But at the end of the day, you look at Darby Allin's run, it's like, oh, we can't have him beat like some of the bigger stars of tomorrow on their regular roster. So we'll pull this person from here, and we'll pull this person from here, and we'll pull this person here. And then eventually you'll see what ends up happening. Look, there's rumors that he's already going to feud with Jay Lethal again. Now he's going to fight Jay Lethal again. It's like when you really think about it, hey, it's cool that Darby Allin won the championship, but then when you start thinking about it, like, okay, you know, they're getting very creative with his opponents. So AEW and Impact Wrestling is a possibility. They did a nice tribute also to Don West yesterday, Impact. Very, very, you know, beautiful tribute to Don West, who obviously did a really good job there with his commentating. Just a real shame what happened to Don West, man. Really, really too young to go. But, man, it is what it is. So, yesterday on AEW, Rampage, this was their card. Darby over Juice Robinson to retain the TNT title. We had the Acclaimed, and they kind of like spoofed like the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Like, and if, oh, they're feuding with the Gun Club. Oh, I got to tell you this. We'll save it for Wednesday. You do notice that FTR has quietly exited AEW. Dax Harwood did his podcast the other day and revealed that Tony Khan has agreed to give them a few months off. It appears those few months will not have to be made up. And the reason being is because FTR said in April they will, I guess, reveal. I don't remember the exact word. We'll talk about it Wednesday. But in April, they will reveal what their future is going to be. Their contracts are up in April with AEW. So for the next 3 months, I guess FTR has to think about if they're going to re-sign with AEW or not. My gut feeling is that they may. I think with WWE, now with these strong rumors of a possible sale, I don't think WWE is appealing to some wrestlers like they used to. Sure, if it's sold, that means Vince is no longer in power, probably. You know, I think people forget that Vince is almost 80 years old. You know, I don't want to see him leave us anytime soon, but, you know, that could happen any day. And when you see some older wrestlers, I hate to say this, but you see some older wrestlers that are not in the greatest of health, and they go on Twitter and they write, "Thank you, Lord, for another day." Believe me when I tell you, that's not just a inspirational quote. I think there's some wrestlers that go to sleep at night because of their age and because of their health, like, wow, I may not wake up tomorrow. And believe me when I tell you, it does cross the minds of everyday folk as well when they get to a certain age or they have a certain health issue. So, you know, it's now or never for some guys. But I could see FTR possibly re-signing. Right now, you know, it's too early to tell. But the Gun Club will now feud with the Acclaimed. So the Gun Club is going to be next in line to feud. And you know what? I don't see them becoming AEW tag champs, but I'm not surprised if they do. Remember, they have so many titles there. You know, it feels like the trios championships are treated with more importance than the tag titles. The tag titles seem to pop up on Rampage all the time, a lot of times. And the trios, you know, different level in my opinion. So getting back to the other results yesterday, Eddie Kingston and Ortiz losing to Malachi Black and Brody King. They are playing off that there is a split being teased between Ortiz and Eddie Kingston, it is going over like a wet fart. If you look at the end of that match yesterday, it was just so ridiculously awful and confusing. Basically, at the beginning of the match, Ortiz is trying to be nice to Eddie Kingston. And Eddie Kingston is like, get out of my face, get out of my face. Ortiz insists on starting the match. He's getting beat up by Malachi Black, and Eddie Kingston's on the apron going, you know, like, so early on, Ortiz, and not, that's another thing. You see Ortiz punching Malachi Black yesterday, and every time he got five shots in, Malachi Black would hit him once, and Ortiz is selling it like he got destroyed. They are making Ortiz look so awful right now, and that is totally unfair. That motherfucker is one of the top, you know, half. I mean, unfortunately, Santana Ortiz is probably no more, but that guy is so much better than that, and they treat him like shit. But yesterday, Ortiz is being nice at the beginning of the match, and Eddie Kingston doesn't want to hear it. Eddie Kingston thinks that he's going to turn and join the House of Black, which sounds ridiculous. But then at the end of the match, Eddie Kingston gets pinned, and Ortiz is pissed off. Ortiz gets kind of choked out by Buddy Matthews, and Malachi Black's like, you did good. You did good. And it's like baffling because Ortiz was trying to beat him up. And it's like, what do you mean he did good? That's like the logic of Bully Ray joining Aces and Eights after getting destroyed every week. But the worst part is that at the end of the match, Eddie Kingston gets pinned. And Eddie Kingston is like trying to like talk to Ortiz, and Ortiz is, just walks away. He's like, I'm like, wait a minute, Eddie, the beginning of the match, you're acting like a dick. Now at the end of the match, he's the one. It's just a fucking mess. It's a mess. It was awful yesterday. The match was good, but the storyline behind it is awful. Yeah, by WWE. Yeah, yeah. Anna Jay and Ty Mello, they lose to Ruby Soho, Willow Nightingale in a street fight. Paul Walter Hauser, he had, Golden Globe, I guess. Danhausen wants it.
That should be the Danhausen Globe.
And then you get Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett, and, you know, Hauser's basically like, you know, like trying to throw insults to Jeff Jarrett. And you could tell they were all like, you know, written in advance. And then best friends make a save after Hauser gets hit with a guitar over the head by, and my God, the guitar was probably the thickness of this piece of paper. I mean, I don't know. I thought it was kind of a ridiculous, you know, segment. And then the best friends, they're still teasing that Trent and Orange Cassidy are not in the best. It's like, just give us a good show. We don't have to have these overly written bad storylines, because they didn't go off well yesterday. So I thought the Acclaim stuff was funny, you know, but overall it was a good night. Just keep the storyline crap away, and I think it'll be fine. I mean, none of these storylines like advance to Dynamite for the most part. I mean, Darby's might, but a lot of this doesn't advance to Dynamite. So just give us matches. You know, if you want to tease like a future match with somebody, okay, fine. But I don't know. It just, to me, it fell flat again. But yeah, Willow's good. I like Willow Nightingale. She's good. She definitely is a fan favorite. A lot of people root for her to go to the next level. I liked the Dudley's tribute yesterday. Them wearing the dual camouflage. I even didn't Ruby say get the tables yesterday too? You know, I'm fine with that. You know, Ruby obviously with the crimson mask. I mean, that's what everybody's going to remember from that night. That was kind of brutal. I don't like to see women bleed in any area of their body. I don't like to see women bleed. So, all right. So we're going to start bringing this home, everyone. So we are going almost 2 hours already. But I want to remind everyone that Sunday night at 8:05 p.m., I will be back here for the sit-down. Last week, we had some fabulous conversation about Vince McMahon. A lot of follow-up. And that discussion, almost all of it ended up being correct. A lot of great discussion last week. I mean, you're welcome to talk about anything on that show. It doesn't have to be wrestling. I mean, whatever is on your mind. The whole trick of that show is you got to show up live, because everybody who shows up live has an opportunity to contribute part of the discussion. And I show up with a blank piece of paper, and whatever you want to talk about, we talk about. So we got the Royal Rumble in 2 weeks. We have the 30th anniversary of Raw in about 9 days, and we will see. I'm very curious if Vince McMahon makes an appearance. It would be interesting to see Vince show up at a Raw right now under the circumstances. If you look, I mean, nobody on that roster is going to protest if Vince McMahon shows up. You know, they're not going to protest. I mean, they may not be happy, but expect, here's some sausage for all of you. Expect Monday to find out that Triple H had a meeting with the Raw roster prior to Raw. Just like they did yesterday with SmackDown, they will do it again on Monday. It's common sense. If he had a meeting with SmackDown yesterday, he will have a meeting on Raw. So I'm telling you right now, it's not news, it's common sense. You will see a bunch of, my sources tell me that Triple H had a meeting with staff today. You know, of course you want to report it. So I'm not saying that people shouldn't report it, but expect that to happen. All right, right before we go off, we got a hard to kill feedback, and that is from Daniel-san. Thank you for the 10 spot, my friend. I tried watching Hard to Kill. They're in a bad spot. Did I do that right? They're in a bad spot, that company. I love the Busted Open Radio guys, but Happy New Year. I have not watched Hard to Kill yet. I watched Little Drips and Drabs online. There's a couple of matches that I want to check out. I don't know if Lisa Marie Verone, the former Victoria, I don't know if she's actually going to have a match with Mickie James. She showed up yesterday and supported Mickie James. Very, very nice to see her. I don't know if she will. You know, I don't know how much longer that storyline goes with Mickie James. Obviously, when she loses that title, technically her wrestling career is over as well. Gaming with Wheels, welcome to the family. And again, I want to thank each and every one of you who found the channel based on what's been going on the last couple of weeks. And, you know, one of the nicest compliments that I've been getting over and over again is that some of you who were not even aware of the channel, I've been around 26 years, never heard of Don Tony and Kevin Castle show or Breakfast with Blasi or the Minority Report or any other shit, nothing. But, you know, some people are checking out some of the past shows. And, you know, I take pride. I like to brag. I'm not going to lie. I think we all at some point like to brag at some point about being right about things. But since the late 90s, my catchphrase, if you even want to call it, was, I don't want to be first. I want to be right. I mean, we got promos from 15 years ago with myself, Kevin Castle, and others, you know, where we, in it, you'll hear, I don't want to be first. I want to be right. It's not something, you know, that should be the norm. I mean, people out there, I would think they want to take pride. That's why, honestly, you know, you should trust your Fightfuls. You trust Meltzer is accurate more times than he is not. So I trust him as well. Bill Apter, I trust. Believe it or not, even Mike Johnson and PW Insider, they don't go anywhere near clickbait anymore. So I give them credit. Those are the areas for the most part where you should get your news from more than anything. The Ringside Fools and all those others, they just try to put common sense and they guess more times than not. And you'd see what goes on. As far as opinions, you know, you got your Solid Monsters, Freeland, JD from New York. There's even No DQ to a certain extent. You know, some of their opining is great. You know, I would stay away from the women and the mascara and all that, but, you know, we all opine for the most part. You know, that's a big difference. I'm not a reporter. I'm not a journalist. I get scoops once in a while. I share it with you. I don't put breaking news online. I'm not interested in people, you know, giving me credit. It's nice when you get it, but I opine. I give opinions. I react. I give you my thoughts. But, you know, if something is bullshit, I'm not going to stay here and go, what if, oh my God, could you imagine? What if, oh, this is going to be epic, amazing, unbelievable. Oh my God, I'm Mercedes. Meanwhile, in the back of my mind, I know for a fact she ain't going to be there. Tony Khan didn't do anything wrong Wednesday. People tried to claim that Tony Khan, he let the fans down. How did he let the fans down? He didn't do nothing wrong. Yeah, he didn't open his mouth to say, listen, guys, I don't want anybody. No, if you want to believe the bullshit out there and watch Dynamite expecting Mercedes, if you bought a ticket in L.A. convinced that Mercedes was showing up, don't get mad at Tony Khan. Don't get mad at Britt Baker for calling herself the boss. Don't get mad at anybody there. Get mad at the fucking people that lied to you, you know? And it's amazing when you see these people flat out lying. And you know they're lying. And everybody runs with it anyway. And then when it ends up being a lie, you know, there's not even a comeback lie. It's just delete it. Meanwhile, you see how many followers that asshole, that Steven guy, you got to see how many people started following him. And then once this happened, he deleted his tweets, acting like nothing happened. How many people you think unfollowed him? Almost none. So that guy succeeded in everything he wanted to do. And thank you, Anthony McGregor, with the 5 spot. I found the show back when TV Tracks used to upload clips. I miss TV Tracks. I'll leave you all with this because we're right at the 2-hour mark. I definitely don't want to go over it. TV Tracks was very, very good people. Let me tell you something. You know, there's some people out there, you know, that try to repost my shit. You know, once in a while, you know, like back in the day, you know, like somebody would ask me, like, hey, is it all right if I post this? I'm like, yeah, no problem. If you ask me first, some people just do it anyway, you know, and I get them shut down. There was a guy the other day that tried, I know who he is, but he was a former Patreon, but he tried to start uploading some of my old shows. And I contacted him. I'm like, look, you know, you didn't even ask me. I said, you know, please take him down. And he uploaded more. And I went on his live stream. I swear on my, I'll never do a show again. I went on his live show. This was Thursday night. And I said, all right, your last chance. If you don't take him down, I'm going to put in copyright. So I don't think he understands because I have a corporation and because it's registered with YouTube. All I got to do is put in a request and tell him why. And within 30 minutes, his channel was done. Just like that. Here's something you all might want to know, especially some of you podcasters out there. There is now a feature on YouTube that if you request something taken down, claiming that it's your copyright or your work, this is very important when using WWE and AEW stuff. Now when you request a takedown, your shows are data. Everything I say in video is data. So when you request a takedown of something that you said, whether it's audio or video, there is now a selection that says, do you want future this to be blocked in the future? You check off that box. Anybody that tries to upload the exact content or portion of it that you already strike someone else, YouTube will automatically match it. It gets taken down without you even asking. It's fabulous. But it's dangerous too, because AEW, WWE, if they do a takedown request for someone and they check off that box, anybody tries to upload the same thing, gets taken down right away. That's why sometimes some of you upload some shows probably, and right at the beginning it says that you can't be monetized because of this or this. That's what usually happens. So it's a couple of details. But TV Tracks, he's the only guy that asked me in advance if he could post my clips, and he actually sent me a couple of dollars once in a while. Once in a while, he'd send, not a lot, but once in a while, he'd send me a couple of dollars. He's like, look, you know, I made some money off the shows. You know, here's a little something. And I thanked him because, you know, everything costs money. Even doing this stuff costs money. But unfortunately, if you all remember about, what was it, 5-6 years ago, YouTube started no longer monetizing wrestling. And you saw some channels go out of business. And some wrestling promotions that only did YouTube content, they went out of business as well. As soon as YouTube started demonetizing wrestling channels, that's when I got the message from TV Tracks. And he said, listen, I'm going to take a little time off. I'm a little burnt out. He says, I'll be back. And I said to myself, he's not going to be back. And I thanked him. I said, thank you for always looking out for me and always, you know, asking me beforehand. He was a really good guy. I emailed him probably about a year ago, just say, hey, man, how you doing? And then hear back. So he put in all of that hard work. And then once he realized he wasn't going to make anything anymore from it, he had to shut down. I don't blame him. I don't blame him. So I'm out of here. Be well, everyone. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. I don't think you need to hear me to say that. You hear it 1,000 times on everywhere else. And I thank you for trusting me. You know, I don't mind being wrong, you know, but I don't want to deliberately ever clickbait or lie to any of you out there. We can have a discussion. We could be wrong in our analysis and opinions, but, you know, never my intention. I know sometimes it's boring. I get once in a while feedback and like, hey, man, that discussion was boring. And I'm like, what do you want me to do? You want me to lie? You want me to add a little bit to it so it's entertaining? But then, you know, you find out it's not true and then you get mad. I won't do that. So if you're around tomorrow night, join me. I will be here at 8.05 p.m. Eastern. We will have conversation, whatever is on your mind. If not, Monday should be a fun Raw. And we'll see what carries over from SmackDown, and we should see a little bit of progression with the Raw Tag Team Championships. We should see a little bit more lashback from the Usos. But send me your feedback. Post a comment. Let me know what you thought. If you have any other questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them on the comments area. And I'm out of here. Much love, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.